Hello and welcome back to Illumination, the Disney Lurkana podcast. My name's Max.
And I'm Sam.
Oh, you're here.
I am.
That's good because there's something I can hear it. Can you hear it?
Hear it. I don't know. It's very low.
It sounds like a whisper.
In the well?
Yeah, in the well. Your subtlety is unmatched. So we are here for our 47th episode, the Whispers in the Well hypisode. If you're not familiar with the hypisodes, we've been doing this since last set, so clearly it's a tradition now. We're doing it again. But seriously, we appreciate the positive feedback, and if you want to hear us tackle the new sets in any specific fashion, if we're doing it, let us know we're doing a good job. If we should be doing something else, let us know what that other thing should be, and we'll do that. We'll do it. I swear we will. Before we jump in too much to the hypisode here, we have Set Champs business to attend to, which is some pretty cool, exciting business. Sam, there was a first for you and I.
There was.
At a Set Champs. What was that?
We got to do a joint win.
Sam and I were the 1 and 2 seed going into the top cut, and we managed to make our way through and navigate the treacherous waters that were the top cut, and we met in the finals, wherein we just shared the victory. It's yep. A map for both of us. The entire time we've been doing this, we haven't gotten into that position either, mostly because we get paired up sooner because we're on the same side of the bracket typically, or one of us doesn't quite make the top cut, something along those lines. But this time we did it. So very cool. Shout out to the rest of the team who have also been getting Enchanteds and mats themselves. Mm-hmm. Really awesome job, everybody. Appreciate seeing the hard work pay off for everyone. This set is daunting. And luck is a larger than normal factor, I will put it mildly. So I'm happy to see everybody working through the variants and doing a good job making sure they secure themselves a really cool Maleficent mat. And I'm just happy we got one because we really, really wanted one.
Yep.
Pretty awesome. We're both playing Blurple. We've been playing Blurple, and that'll probably continue unless I take one of these as like a little tryst and play dogs.
Yeah, I don't know. One of our friends today was playing Red Purple and she did really well with it. So it's pretty tempting to play that next weekend.
Yeah, there's a cool like sing together-y kind of deck with some Flingerdinger elements and a good late game. It looks like it could be pretty fun to play for sure.
Yeah.
That is our Set Champs update. Let's get into Whispers in the Well now. We're talking about a set of pretty much entirely new cards. Since Jafar, I can imagine about the stock standard of what we're going to see. 202 new cards, 2 reprinted cards. The reprinted cards are Dragonfire and Detective Mickey. This is a mystery, spooky, noir-y set. So seeing good old Detective Mickey return is great.
Yeah.
It's also great if you've been hoarding a bunch of Brave Little Prince, because the price of that's gone up like 148%.
The price of the promo DLC Dragonfires have gone up quite a bit too.
Yes. They are back to a little higher than they were at the time they were available, which is about $50. They're up to a little over 60, I think, now at time of recording. So a lot of people excited for having these cards. I think Dragonfire is a card we were sorely, sorely missing from the Fabled meta.
Yeah, I agree.
So I'm happy to see that come out. We have 2 iconic cards. They've been revealed so far, unless there are more. But at time of recording, there are 2 iconic cards. Seems like that's going to be kind of the bog standard for iconic cards. We have the new Hades and a new Ariel, which both look really, really cool. I think both are quite exciting choices for an iconic card. Both seem very playable.
I agree.
We're going to have, of course, Enchanted cards and the new Epic Rarity, along with the Iconics, coming back for the set as well. Everything looks really neat. I think the look of the set is really cool. It's got that spooky, and they kept referencing in the art stage that they did that one of the big drivers was noir in general, being a very cool, moody look without being absolutely frightening or inappropriate for the Disney audience, which I think is really smart. Using a lot of light to paint an image, so a lot of high contrast light and shadow look in these cards, and some of the Enchanteds look really, really cool because they all contain one very specific and singular light source.
I missed that.
Yeah, it was cool to hear about that. That was really a fun thing to hear them go on about. And I think that having that look really helps while still maintaining the high quality art standard with these Enchanted cards. Probably since set, I would say consistently since Archaza's Island in set 7, they've been consistently trying to make very pretty looking Enchanted cards. And I think they should. Like, these should be sought after not just for playability, but for how nice they look as display pieces and collectible cards as well. Now, back into gameplay, because you know this is a core constructed focused podcast. We are talking about two new keyword abilities. Sam, what's the first new keyword ability?
Our first one is Boost.
Boost.
Yeah, so boost is you have a boost and then a number of ink that you pay. So boost one, boost two, etc. It's once during your turn, you may pay the ink cost to put the top card of your deck face down under this character.
And why would you do that?
It depends on the card. It's giving you an effect if you do it.
Yes, some of the boost cards have an effect if there's a card underneath of them. Some have an effect when a card is put underneath of them. So it lets you decide the timing of the card. There are definitely some boost cards that you want to treat the ink cost as an additional cost. So if, let's say, it costs three and it boosts for two, in your head, there are definitely some cards where strategically this card costs five because you're just going to want to play it and boost it immediately to immediately extract value as to not potentially risk losing the card and losing out on that value. Other cards are going to have a boost cost where it makes more sense likely to do it on a future turn, not necessarily the turn you play it.
Yeah. And some cards we're getting, you only have to do once. Once it's done, you get the effect. And then other cards, it's the more you do it, the more of that effect you get.
Some cards will promote you boosting them every turn.
Yeah.
Because you'll get an effect when they're boosted. So it's really, I think, an interestingly designed mechanic, very thoughtful, and offers a lot of depth and strategy, which is definitely the hallmark of good card design. I think that this doesn't yet feel ridiculously overpowered. It feels like they're using that restriction to help put cool things into cards, but also making it a restriction because you're just not immediately getting it for free, which takes away something like a comes into play effect, which we've talked about quite a bit on this podcast, because some of the best cards in the game are the best cards in the game because they happen to have a when this character is played effect. The barrier for that is nothing. It's playing the character. So you're getting the effect stapled onto a stat line. So the stat line and the effect put together are often the sum is worth more than what you're paying for the parts. You strip off a piece of the card, you're still left with sometimes something really extra and that's really good. I think Hades is a good example of this. We had Let It Go in set one. We have Hades in set one. Hades is a 3/6/2 with the ability of when it comes into play, you take a chosen character and put it into that player's inkwell, exerted. Let It Go is a song, so it was a single-use version of that that did that as an action for five, and it was inkable. So basically, you get a 3/6/2 for two additional ink and an uninkable card in general. There's no card in Lorcana. There was no way they would print a two-cost that was a 3/6/2 with no ability. Like an uninkable two-cost 3/6/2? That's insane. That's way too good.
Yeah.
But if you think about it, that's what you were getting the stat line of Hades for, if that ability of putting a character into the inkwell at five. And we've seen kind of a similar play on that with Into the Unknown as a single use action song that costs three. But that character that it targets has to be exerted. So you can't choose it unless it's exerted for three. For five, you can pick anything. For seven, we'll staple it onto a 3/6/2, but you're not allowed to have an inkable card at that point. Okay. The scaling makes a lot of sense. The boost part of this is you're almost ascribing a cost to the mechanic, to the effect of the card in that way, which I think is really interesting because the card itself, the whisper part, you're getting for the cost of the card. So if it's a card that 2/3/2 up on your screen.
For three inkable.
For three inkable, that's what I'm getting, which that is our normal Lorcana card. That's not out of the world of possibility, right? We have 2/2/2s for two. Common and uncommon in a lot of colors. Like we have the Arthur, we have the Maleficent that are all in this 2/2/2 stat line. So 2/3/2 for three inkable, that's a totally reasonable stat line. However, there's a boost that costs two that's ascribed to this card. So now it's ascribing that cost to that effect. So what's the effect in this case?
While there's a card under this character, he gets +2 strength and +2 willpower.
So a huge boost. So we go from a 2/3/2 to a 4/5/2 for what is essentially five ink, which is, again, a really good stat line. So that can be pretty nasty. And that's when there's a card under it. So we don't have to boost this multiple times.
Nope, just one time.
But we can. Maybe there's going to be a card that pays off boosting additional times. Like anytime you boost, maybe there's an item. Whenever you boost or cards placed underneath of another card, something cool happens.
Right.
That's the division of how the boost works, which is so elegant because you get to see it spell itself out on the cards. But you also get to see, hey, there's two parts to this, and boost can be treated like a come into play effect if you wanted to play this card for the cost plus the boost, or it can be played over time.
Yeah, you can play this card on three, and then the next turn you can boost it plus a one drop, or I guess it would be boost it plus a two drop.
Yeah, which is still really good. Yeah. Like, it's an interesting way to use your curve. So you can be like, you know what? I'll play a little off curve to get a character that's so stat positive in play that I'll be able to continue to stay ahead and have a backup card as well to continue to pressure the lure total here. Yeah.
Or at least have the option. I mean, depending on what your opponent does, whether you want that 4-5 or if you want 2-3 is okay for this turn.
Absolutely. I think that that is really the elegance of the design, is it puts the stress on, okay, am I just curving out this turn and I'm going to play a four drop that's well statted the turn after I play this, or will I do what you suggested and I'll boost plus play a smaller character to back this up?
I also think it's worth talking about, we're seeing boost as like a positive thing, but it can also be really risky because you're only allowed four cards of each in the deck. So you could be boosting a card that you don't want to boost and not be able to use for the rest of the game.
Yes. It really adds a layer to cards that have largely been unplayable in Lurkana, which are cards that manipulate the top of your deck. So we've played cards more like Develop Your Brain or Visions of the Future, which let you look at the top cards and then put the worst of them on the bottom while adding cards to your hand. So these cards are always staying card neutral. There might be a world where we want a card that will let us manipulate the top card of the library, yeah, or like top couple cards.
Memory Has Water, I think, is one.
Water Has Memory, yes.
Close.
Yeah. Water Has Memory. There are characters that let us look at the cards. There's a queen that lets you look at the top two cards and put them back in a specific order. So then you can boost away the worst of them and you can start to use them. There's the Kida that exerts to let you ink a card and then keep a card on top. So you can kind of get some information. If they're both bad, you know now the coast is clear to start boosting.
Yeah. I'm not sure if it's gotten rotated out, but there's that Merlin's Cottage.
Yeah, I'm not sure if that's still around or not, but yeah, you can look at the top card. Not boosting right now. There's a lot of extra cards that become playable when a mechanic like this is introduced into the game. Just hats off to the design team on boost. I think it's really good.
I think it's going to be a lot more thought-provoking than we're initially thinking.
Oh yeah, no, there's a lot of strategic depth to it. I like it. Moving on to the next new keyword here, and just so you know, to clarify, keywords are the bolded black text, not the ones that are in the little boxes that are unique to the cards. These are evergreen for the game.
They tend to go throughout the...
Yeah, and they apply to many cards. You'll see many cards with the boost ability. You'll see, same way you see many cards with shift and many cards with something like evasive. Mm-hmm. This new one is kind of like evasive, isn't it?
Kind of. Not quite. We have alert. This character can challenge as if they had evasive.
A lot to unpack in one sentence there. Is on your turn, they can challenge as though they had evasive. It is not like the former version of this we're used to seeing, which is on your turn, this character gains evasive, meaning they get the keyword evasive, meaning they get the benefits of cards that would interact with cards that give a boost of some kind to evasives. Peter Pan's dagger gives all evasive characters one strength. The steel characters that get evasive on your turn would get that benefit. These new alert characters would not get that benefit. And we've seen this be very important in conversations early on about alert, because one of the very important cards in the meta right now that alert cards do not interact favorably with is a certain elephant in the room.
Yeah, Dumbo,
ninth wonder of the world. That card is very, very important right now to the Amethyst strategy. And the fact that these alert cards, while having better stats in a lot of cases than some of the current roster we're seeing, also get the negative of they don't interact favorably with Dumbo, so they can't start turning into card advantage engines in the late game, which again lets you give them slightly better stats than some of these characters we've seen previously.
Yeah. because they don't get the perks of being evasive.
Exactly. Alert, another carefully designed mechanic coming out of Whispers in the Well. So that's really exciting as well. Some of the cards that have alert also have an ability. There's a new ability for gargoyle characters. We're only seeing this on the gargoyles themselves so far, and not obviously on the characters from the franchise, because not all of them are gargoyles, right? There's humans in there too. For those of you who have not seen it, you should watch it. It's great. But we have an ability called Stone by Day. Tell us about Stone by Day.
So Stone by Day is if you have three or more cards in your hand, this character cannot ready.
Wanting you to take advantage of these very above stat characters. Characters boast really impressive stat lines in a lot of cases, but they require you to play with a very small hand to really reap the benefit of the card. A nice, elegant way to go, we really want to get cheap 5/5s down, or cheap, like we have a 6/4 for 3 that's in this set. That absurd stat line.
I do think it's really cool though that it doesn't enter exerted if you have the 3 or more cards in your hand.
Yes.
So you get to use the character at least once if you have a large hand.
If you're going to exert the character, you're going to get an exert out of it. But there's an inherent cost if your hand is too big. So you want to play a little bit more to the board. You want to play in a tempo positive fashion and get rewarded by these very chonky characters coming down way above rate. That 6/4 for 3 can take out the 3/6/2 with no ability that I was talking about earlier. The leftovers of Hades. I'm going to play this Hades on the draw. My opponent goes, okay, now here's a 6/4. And you go, oh no, you're not supposed to be able to kill this already. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's crazy. Like, those stats are legit. In addition to the new gargoyles things, we get some new locations coming our way, which we haven't seen new locations yet. Fable did have some reprinted locations, but nothing new in terms of a locale.
Yeah, and it seems like we're going to get some locations with boost from little signs we've seen here and there.
Yeah, locations with boost, locations that hopefully will have an impact on the game, because as of right now, with the Fabled meta, they've been pretty much absent. However, it's going to be hard to play locations when we're playing 6/4s for 3. So these better be some good locations. That's everything that we know, everything we're excited about, but what else do we want to see? We got Dragonfire, Sam. Ruby got a little bit of help.
Yeah, I would like to see a board wipe in Ruby. So hopefully we can see something on a character or even a new action, I think would be fine. We know Be Prepared's not coming back because we've only are getting 2 reprints. So I'm hoping to see something that's a mass board wipe.
Mass board wipe is on the wish list. I think it would offer a little bit of variety and strategy, for sure. Having to struggle our way through Heads Held High plus Under the Sea is a risky prospect. We haven't seen the Baja colors, the Emerald Sapphire color combination, really convert in terms of core constructed results. So I think that a 14-cost, 2-card board wipe is not exactly where we want to be in terms of catching up from behind. I think that the meta has kind of proven that point. I think we're in a very nickel and dimey time, and I think being able to convert some X for ones will be really nice. We're seeing some cards that I would want to continue to see more of, and I've been talking about it probably every time we do one of these wish lists, is cards that help you when you're on the draw. Seeing David Xanatos from Gargoyles, he comes in, he's a 3/2/1 for 3 Inkable. When he comes into play, you can discard a card. If you do, you get to deal 2 damage to a chosen character. So you're taking that card that you get from being on the draw, and you're able to convert that card into damage and removal for a different card, which is really cool. And we're seeing a little bit of a hint of this coming in Winterspell. We got a little bit of a super early spoiler on one of the lore casts where we got to see Angel, who has an ability where she gets cheaper if you are the player who did not go first.
Yeah.
So I want to see more of that. I want to see more rewarding for going second, because it is as much or as little as it is a difference maker. It is a difference maker. There is a margin for how disadvantaged you are in this game if you do not win a random selector or are not the high seed in a top cut. And I think that margin needs to be not necessarily 50-50, right? Like, there should be something close to, there should be an approximation in some direction for these cards. And that's what I really want to see. The other thing I want to see is I want a card that is good on turn whatever in the early game, 2, 3, 4, and a card that is good on turn 12, 13, or 14. That's what I really want. The closest version of a card I think we have to that is maybe Genie. It's rare. I'm sad to see a Genie at any point in the game. So I think that may be the only card right now that's good early and good late, or good on time and good in the late game, where most cards, we don't have that. We don't have the Madam Mimfoxes right now, where this card's awesome on time to help keep me in a game against an aggressive deck, and it's awesome late to let me value engine my way by bouncing something back to my hand. So we just don't have those cards right now, and the versions we have are so trivial that it's not good enough to really help us get away from the variance of, if I drew this card too late, it's too underpowered. Or if I have my expensive card that can catch me up, but I draw it early, it's too expensive, so I just have to ink it. I want to see more cards that are relevant through the entirety of a game. No matter what point of a game I play it, there's a relevant way, like a relevant way I can make it do something impactful for my game. So those are the things I want.
Yeah, I also could see getting some better songs. We kind of have a shortage of good songs right now, I think, in the Fabled meta. Being able to get a couple more songs in each color would be nice.
That's, it sounds like you're just trying to combine a song and a board wipe together.
Oh, that would be lovely.
So you just want to be prepared is what you're saying.
I want to be prepared, but I mean, I'll take a friend on the other side.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Speaking of cards that are good early or good late. Yeah, sure. I'll take that too. We're asking.
I think like Amber Steel needs more than just strength. I think in order to see that archetype, I mean, maybe they don't want it to come back. I don't know. Like
Amber Ruby needs something if that's going to be the song colors, right? If we're going to have power lines and this new aerial whisper, okay, then we need a song that's worth singing here. We need a song that can catch us up, a song that can help leverage something without other cards. We don't want just World's Greatest Criminal, because you have to have a support character out in a lot of cases for World's Greatest Criminal to really be good.
Right. We want songs that are worth playing. Like I think before the rotation, songs were so prevalent. We had so many songs that were played.
Definitely.
Now there's maybe like one per color that gets played, really.
Maybe.
Approximately.
Yeah. Not the best conversion rate for songs in this current meta. I totally agree. We'd like to see some of those things. We just want the really powerful stuff, I guess, is what we're saying. We sound like constructed players.
Yeah. A good item would be nice.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, maybe we got it. I'm not sure.
Yeah. They're trying. I am excited to see what else continues to come up from the bottom of the well. In addition to some cool IPs, we have Black Cauldron, obviously. We got Gargoyles. We have a whole slew of detective themes going back to old Mickey Mouse cartoons. We're going to have Legend of Sleepy Hollow crop up at a point. So it's just really exciting. I love that we're getting the kind of scary, spooky set, because it's definitely up my alley. So I hope it keeps delivering the goods, and I hope this is a set that can get the meta shaken up and have people really brewing, trying other things, because right now it is really, really hard in the Fabled meta to
keep questing.